And we're here with the senator this morning, and open to phone calls. 395-1450 is the number to call. And anything that's hot today about what's going on in Lansing? Or
well, a number of bills have been signed by the governor.
Yeah.
He signed a whole package on blight. Now, some of our larger cities really have a tough time with this. And typically what happens is somebody comes along, has a lot of money, picks up some commercial property, and just lets it rot.
Hmm.
And then they get a ticket, you know, for having a blight,
right.
and they throw it away. So we've changed the law, and the governor has signed it. And if the first time it's a $500 civil infraction, the second time you can get up to 90 days in jail, and the third time you can get up to a year. So we hope we put some teeth in that law.
Good, good. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yeah, I know this is a federal thing, but I want to talk about this Obamacare. I've got a granddaughter, she had insurance, and she was okay with it. But now she's got to take on this Obamacare, and it's doubled. The premium is doubled. The deductible is $5,000. And one of the reasons why they have upped her so much is because she has to carry maternity because she has a daughter that's 10 years old. Now, does this make sense?
Well, no, it doesn't. And I can tell you that it's harmed a lot of people. I go to the coffee shop and I hear this every day.
Yeah. And why didn't Michigan decide to opt out of it? Like, there's a lot of states that have just opted out of it. Why couldn't Michigan have done that? We have a Republican legislator. We have a Republican governor. And still they decided to go along and extend this Medicaid.
Well, now Medicaid and Obamacare are two different things.
Well, they have put a lot more people onto Medicaid from this Obamacare. They added a lot of people to the Medicaid.
I would agree with you, and I oppose that. But the expansion did occur, and there are more people on Medicaid. But I assume your daughter, you said, is buying Obamacare, correct?
Yeah, she has to. Now, this is a small business. Do they realize how this is going to hurt these young people in that age that are just starting out, raising their families, starting a small business? Can you imagine how this is going to hurt those people? She says we're going to just have to pay the penalty, and they're going to have to go without insurance now.
All I can say is I agree with you, and I hope within 2 years they reverse it. It's caused a terrible problem. I have one friend that's a realtor, and he buys insurance on himself, his wife, and three children. So he went to the website to sign up for Obamacare, and it raised his rates $400 a month, but it wouldn't allow all of his children to be on Obamacare. And so he called them, and he says, I don't understand what's going on here. And they said, well, put two of your kids on Medicaid. And he says, well, I don't want them on Medicaid. And that is a crazy thing that's happening, and I think it's going to just implode and fall apart.
It's got to fall apart. I mean, because this is really going to hurt people in that age group.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So,
well, I've heard from other people that are in their 40s and 50s and don't plan on having any more children, and they were told they had to have pregnancy coverage. So it's pretty bizarre what people are being forced to do.
Yeah, can you imagine an 11-year-old girl? She hasn't even reached puberty.
Right, right.
And they have to carry a pregnancy thing.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Indeed. Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah, bye.
Well, Rick, you and I have to carry pregnancy insurance too, don't we?
I suppose we do. I don't know. I'm an old married guy of 40 years. I hit 40 years this November, and whatever they make me carry, I have to carry. I know that my rates that I pay have gone up quite a bit. So it's everybody got hurt.
I'm afraid so. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Hello. I have a question concerning the previous caller about the Obamacare, the affordable health care. has that affected you, Senator?
Well, how has it affected me? I pay 20% of my insurance, and everything goes up for everybody. All state employees will be paying more this year.
Right. Are you affected and have to participate in that affordable health care or no?
No, no, because the state, at least currently, the state pays for insurance for state employees, but we pay
20%. 20% is not much compared to what that last caller just explained to you, and it almost seemed as though it wasn't affecting you, so it wasn't that big of a blow when she explained it to you. I hope you will consider that more deeply and to heart what your constituents are trying to explain to you. And it is affecting everybody, and I hope it eventually affects you and you have to take that Obama or affordable health care in consideration a little more deeply than what you are.
Well, it doesn't sound like I'm concerned on the radio, but I'm very concerned by it. And as she stated at the beginning of her call, I understand you're not a federal congressman or a federal senator. And that's what you have to be to change it.
Yeah.
I don't have the power to change it. I wish I could.
Yeah, indeed. All right. 395-1450 here, our number. If you'd like to give the senator a call this morning, our line is open, and we'd be happy to hear from you. And, hey, we might get some bright weather, but it's still snowing out there.
Anything but ice.
Anything but ice, right. Okay, got another call here. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Good morning. I would like to know, since the subject of Medicaid was brought up, what exactly took place on the floor of the Senate when it was defeated as far as the Medicaid expansion and then brought back up when the lieutenant governor was there for the tiebreaker, and then it was passed, and we wind up with a Medicaid expansion under Obamacare that we get 90% of it is what we get. We're going to get to pay 2 years, comes back 100%. Then all of a sudden the state starts paying 10%. We, the people out here that are getting hit with this insurance bill process, are going to wind up paying this extra 10% by the time this math gets done. I guess I'd like to know how that all came about. I know Mr. Meekoff says that he voted against it, but as I watch this whole thing go down, he's the one that pulled a parliamentary move, according to him, at the request of the speaker to re-bring it up when it was already a done deal, that it wouldn't have went. I guess that's my question. And nobody seems to want to answer that anyplace.
Well, I don't know what you want me to answer. I can tell you what happened. What happened is they took a vote, and it went down by one vote.
That's correct.
And then they came back several hours later and held another vote, and it passed.
A motion to reconvene for it.
That's correct, and it passed.
Yeah, and that was Mr. Meekoff that brought that up to reconvene.
Well, you know, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, you know what happened. And
I know what happened.
All I can tell you is I voted no.
And he voted no, too. So why did he go ahead and bring that back up? That's my question for Mr. Meekoff. He's been on WATC, and when I brought that up to him then, he brings it up like somebody's got childhood issues and doesn't understand what took place there.
Well, you'll have to ask him. All I can tell you is what happened. It was brought up for another vote, and I voted no both times.
I know you did, Rick.
And I don't know what else I can tell you.
I understand that. So you just said more on the air than what he is willing to even admit to. I thank you. You have a nice day.
Thank you. All right, got another call coming in. I do believe. No, maybe not. Okay. Let's take a moment out for
your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yeah. My question is, why are people actually going on the line to get Obamacare when they can go to Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Priority Health, or any of them, and they can get insurance? You can get insurance. You can buy insurance from the free market yet. even if it's a little bit higher than it was last year, it sure isn't going to be as high as Obamacare. And in regards to companies providing insurance, you know, if you pay 20% or 30% of the bill, you're better off paying the higher rate that they'll have a higher rate, but they'll filter it down to you, and you'll pay some more, but that's still cheaper than going on Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
His comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of people are going online to what they call the federal exchange is they want the supplement. And what they do is they calculate how much you make per year and how big your family is, and then they subsidize what you pay. And so you may pay a much lower rate based on how poor you are.
So they subsidize you?
Well, the taxpayers do. Yes, that's your federal tax dollars at work. And,
that's right.
And that's what occurs.
Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Hello, it's me again. And, you know, I just got to say that my wife is a federal employee, and I honestly feel a little guilty taking the insurance that's available to us, but we're going to take it. And the reason... I think a lot of these individuals are taking these affordable health care plans is because they're ignorant. The state has done a lousy job on educating these individuals on, you know, what's available. And, you know, I just got to say, it's wrong. It's wrong. Goodbye.
Okay. I think what misled a lot of people is the president saying, well, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and if you like your health plan, you keep your health plan.
Exactly, and that simply wasn't true. I have so many people I talked to at the coffee shop that their policy has been canceled as of January 1, and they're having a horrible time replacing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's we may actually have less people with insurance January 1 than we had before.
That's right. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning. Let me turn my radio down a minute.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Mr. Jones how he feels about Michigan Farm Bureau and their policies, how serious he takes the resolutions that are in the book and so on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I take the resolutions very seriously, and I have a 100% voting record with the Michigan Farm Bureau. In fact, I've been named a friend of agriculture. You know, there's what I like to say is Michigan is on a three-legged stool. It's manufacturing, tourism, and agriculture. And agriculture is absolutely a very important leg that keeps Michigan going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another call coming in. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yeah, Joe. A little different slant on the Medicaid thing.
Yeah.
From what Governor Snyder said, and I think what Joe Hobman said, he said if they did not go on Medicaid, we would pay that because they would be all going to the emergency room like they are doing now. I think that was his take on it then, and I think that's why we went to the Medicaid. So they either go on Medicaid or we're going to pay it through the emergency room.
You're going to pay it one way or the other.
Yeah, because I know for a fact, because I was there once and I got a bill and I called back and said, how come it's so high? He said, well, you pay for the ones that don't have it, that are in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Which is the highest place you can go.
Yeah.
The rates are so high. But that was the take by Governor Snyder and Representative Joe Hobman, I think.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I disagreed with him. The reason I did is if you're disabled in Michigan, if you're a child of the poor, if you're a mother of children, if you're the caretaker of children, all those people are covered by Medicaid in Michigan. So what we were talking about is an expansion above the federal poverty level. So people that are working, and what they did is they expanded it up to 133% of the poverty level. Well, I had to take a look at it because, you know, they said it was free for a couple of years. Well, it isn't really free. It's your federal tax dollars paying for it, but it didn't cost Michigan anything for a couple of years. But when it kicks in, we have to come up with $300 million to start, and that'll grow and grow and grow. And where is that money going to come from? You know, I'd rather that we kept our money going into roads and to schools and police and fire. You simply can't. Money doesn't grow on trees.
That's right. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yes. How are you today, Senator?
Very good. Made it over from Lansing where we have no power.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here. But these people that are complaining about having to pay for Medicaid or their insurance for people that don't have insurance, look at your phone bill, your gas bill, your electric bill. You're paying for other people on that also. You might as well face it. You're going to have to pay for the people that don't want to pay, that don't want to work, and that don't care if they get it free.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's pretty much true, Senator. You're going to pay for other people whether you like them or not.
Well, I have a great deal of sympathy for the working poor that are above the poverty level.
Yeah.
And I think instead of just giving them something for free, they should have bought Obamacare. You know, the president said they can have it for the price of a cell phone. Well, fine. Then if you're the working poor, then get your insurance for the price of a cell phone. I think that's what they should have done instead of getting the Medicaid.
Away cell phones.
Well, that's true. And, you know, the other problem with Medicaid is it's hard to find providers that want to take it. So commercial insurance is always going to be better.
That's true.
You don't have to drive as far.
If you need a dentist, for instance, where are you going to go?
Well, it's very difficult, and I can tell you I have some experience with this because my daughter takes in foster children,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, then I become the foster grandpa.
That's right.
Well, the kids, of course, are on Medicaid, and try and find a doctor, dentist, anybody that will see them is very
right.
difficult. So
right.
it means driving around everywhere, even for glasses, anything like that.
Yeah. Indeed. All right. 395-1450 here if you'd like to give us a call this morning. Our line is open right now. All right. Talk to the senator directly. What's going to be on the agenda when you go back? You're going to have a pretty short session, right?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's on session. I can tell you what I will be working on. You've heard of the electronic cigarettes.
Yes.
Okay. These are devices to deliver nicotine to people that want to use that instead of smoking.
Right.
And I think that's fine for adults. However, there's nothing in our state to block the sale to children.
Right.
And so I'm working very hard to get that to happen, to make sure that stores, gas stations don't sell these to children under the age of 18. It does contain nicotine. It is addictive, and we don't need children smoking it. Now, they come in flavors. You know, root beer and cheesecake and all sorts of things.
I tried chocolate.
Yeah, and, you know, that's fine for adults, but that's attractive to kids. So I really want to keep that away from them. Also, as long as we're on this topic, I might mention there's been at least a couple of kids die from drinking their refillable container.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping we can force all the companies to put an adult cap on refillable containers. You know, nicotine is a poison if you drink enough of it.
Right, right. All right. 395-1450 here. Talk of the town, and if you'd like to talk to the senator, you may do so by just calling us here on the program this morning. All right, so the next session gets underway when? Friday morning, or?
Well, session as far as voting will be January 8th.
January 8th.
Yeah.
So nothing actually will take place except discussion.
Well, it's more helping people in this
right.
All of my days. Normally, Monday and Friday are set aside so you can drive around your district and help people do things that you need to do, have meetings around the district. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you're in session. Doesn't happen during Christmas and New Year's, of course.
Right. Kind of nice to have a little time off, too.
Well, you know, my wife would tell you I never have time off because even if I walk in a coffee shop to have a cup of coffee and eat breakfast, I'll have about five or six people that have questions. So that's all part of the job.
Right, it is.
And you get used to it.
Well, you've been in public life for a long time, so you're kind of used to it.
Yeah, you know, my wife, she's a couple of times she says, well, let's go someplace and just get away. where nobody knows you. And so we'll drive up to Manistee, or one year we drove up to Sault Ste. Marie, and even up there, somebody walked up and said, "Hi, Rick." It didn't bother me, but my wife wasn't real happy. So you get used to it. I understand you. You live in a fishbowl, and that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Okay. Time out for a word. We'll be right back here.
We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yes, I want to ask him about the part-time legislature. I think that if we had a part-time legislature, we'd have more freedom in the state and in this country. And many years ago, some states only had their legislative sessions every other year. Most people don't know that, but they had it every other year. So there was less regulation and less intrusion in our privacy and our and what we're supposed to have. Thank you. I'd like to have you.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, I don't think that would be the case. What you would have is a more powerful governor if the legislature weren't there to keep track of them. You know, in the last 6 months of Governor Granholm's regime, I kept an eye on her, and every time she tried to do something, I made sure the media knew about it, held her feet to the fire. So, yes, you could go to a part-time legislature. You're just going to make the governor much more powerful, and all the bureaucrats that run the government that don't really care about your interests. You know, if you have an elected official there, they're not just passing laws. That is a very small part of what we do. We're also working for you. And if so, you call and you need help, perhaps the bureaucrats have mistreated you and you need help, that's what we're there for.
Mm-hmm.
So the job has evolved over the years, and will you have less regulation if we're there less time? I doubt it.
Right, right. Well, on the county level, we used to have the board of supervisors, and that has evolved into commissioners, which are not full-time, but they're paid above the supervisor, and the supervisor doesn't do anything now except stay in the township.
Yes, yes, we're a state that has a township and county form of government, and you know, I appreciate the township government. They get paid very little, and they do a wonderful job.
Yeah, they do.
From what I've seen.
They do, indeed. Hey, we're about out of time.
Well, have everybody in the greater Holland area have a very Merry Christmas, and I hope you all keep your power, unlike mid-Michigan, and look forward to talking to you next year.
Okay, and I hope you get back to Lansing safely, and I hope your power's on when you get back.
Thank you.